a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. My name is Bernie Hunniff. I'm the House Democratic leader from Yankton. And joining me is Jason Frerichs, the Senate Democratic leader from Wilmot. Jason's a bright young farmer from the Wilmot area and been one of the real rising stars of the legislature even at a young age. And we have a number of young folks here in the legislature from both sides of the aisle, and it's really, really encouraging and refreshing for some of us old-timers to see that. In fact, I would say Jason and I probably make one of the younger legislative leadership delegations around if you do some age averaging. Right? So we're very proud of that. And that youthful vigor, it'll show at the end of this 38-day session. One of Jason will be going strong. But seriously, Jason and I look forward to working with our Republican colleagues, with David Lust and his team, and with Russ Olson on the Senate side. And also our congratulations to our good friends, to Cory Brown, who was elected Senate, to the Senate leader, Senate President Pro Tem, and to Speaker Brian Gosch. Our congratulations to them. And for that matter, we look forward to working with all our Republican colleagues, all 105, and there are, about 35 new ones, I believe. All good folks. I've met most of the new ones already, and I mean, they're great folks, cowboys and storekeepers and teachers and farmers, and just such a great cross-section of folks who come from all over South Dakota come here, I know, for the very same reason, all for a shared purpose of just making life in South Dakota a little better. So it's really a good spirit. I've compared this place many times to a town hall meeting, a 38-day town hall meeting where all the food you can eat, pay is lousy, but the food is good, and we're all here for the same purpose, and it's really a good process. And it's up to us, I think, the legislative leaders, to make the process work. I think our role as leaders is less to advance our own political and policy agenda as so much as just to make the process work for all those 105 legislators, and I hope we can do that. Jason and I also want to thank Governor Dugard for kicking off the session with his State of the State speech on Tuesday morning, or Tuesday noon. Excellent speech and a theme that I think every South Dakotan can appreciate, the theme of stewardship. And we agree with so much of what was in that speech. In fact, a vast majority of it, I believe, especially with the new investments the governor is recommending in the area of parks on both sides of the state, at Blood Run and at Custer State Park. The governor is giving some real serious attention to some issues that are long overdue. One right in my neighborhood at the Human Services Center, where we built a new psychiatric hospital 25 years ago, and really nothing was ever done with the old campus. And the governor, much to his credit, I think we've had three or four governors since then, and nobody's ever really taken on that issue. And the governor, to his credit, has been down there a couple times and worked with the Yankton community, and is going to spend some money to bring some resolution to those buildings, do some historic preservation and some demolition, more likely. An even bigger issue, in fact, a very big issue on corrections reform, the governor, I think, courageously has tackled corrections reform. Again, that's something that should have been tackled 25 years ago, but there's no political upside to it, and it was just too much of a hot potato. Nobody knows that better than legislators, where I've actually seen in committee where legislators would actually auction sentencing up and up and up to see who was tougher on crime. And as we auctioned the sentences up, we just filled the prisons, and we hurt families, hurt people. These are mostly nonviolent offenders who could be much better treated outside the prison walls. And the governor has really done it right with some 400 stakeholders, not a top-down approach, but bringing everybody to the table. And it's really a good example of how government can work and should work. So we appreciate that a lot. Of course, we've have always really supported the governor's initiatives, and I believe he calls it the WIN program, but the workforce initiatives, the scholarship programs, there's so much in there that we can agree on, and that's the way government should work. We should find all the things we can agree on, and let's get them done first, and then if there's some other issues that we have some disagreements with, we'll go to work on them, hopefully in the same bipartisan manner. The issues that are maybe weren't so discussed so much on the in the State of the State, but will be discussed, and I'm sure the governor knew this, will be discussed as the session unfolds. It will be education funding, obviously probably the number one public policy issue in South Dakota. Where should we be with education funding, especially K-12 funding, but education at all levels? The other one would be economic development. The voters kind of hit the reset button. That's become kind of a cliche word out here, but the voters kind of said, hey, go back to the drawing table on economic development, and that's going to be a good thing. We're going to broaden that discussion and really talk now about what constitutes economic development, where the money ought to come from, what the goals ought to be. So that's going to be a very plus. The other one will be healthcare. I've been out here in and out for 20 years. We've wrestled with ways to find health care for some 50,000 South Dakotans who are uninsured. They don't have access or affordable health care, access to health care or affordable health care. And finally, we have an opportunity to do that. There are legitimate questions. The governor's staff outlined some of those yesterday at a briefing. They did a very good job. We'll try to answer the governor's questions, and hopefully we can find some resolution to that. So that's where I see it. I think education, economic development, and health care will really be the big issues, along with corrections reform. We look forward to working with not only our Republican colleagues, but the community leaders around the state to hopefully find some solutions to some of these old problems. With that, I think I'll turn it over to Jason, and then we'll be happy to take questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Bernie, and definitely appreciate the useful thoughts and attitude. And that really goes to show, I think, for a lot of things in this era of term limits and the kind of the status of where things operate, usefulness is kind of almost a standard term around this Capitol building, especially when the legislature's in town. But it's obviously something that is more than just an age factor. It's something that many of us as citizen legislators owe it to not only our constituents, but obviously to the betterment of state government to immerse ourselves in the issues and become very much engaged and involved, because this is very much an intense time period that 38 days or 40, if it may be, that we use the extreme length of what our legislative session involves. That's it, and we head out of town. We look to our friends to the north who meet only every other year. They're talking about an 80-day session. Many of my farmer friends up there have said they took care of their farm plans just the other day before they left to head out to start their session. And so we operate a little different compared to our friends to the north, but we certainly have very similar issues. And having said that, it comes to mind as far as their what they've seen for their prison system and what's happening in corrections up in North Dakota, obviously with much less numbers in their system, which alarms us to look at the growth that we have seen in our correction system here in South Dakota. And again, certainly applaud the efforts. I echo many of the comments that Bernie has made, but specifically on the criminal justice side of things, it's a task that needed to be worked on, and obviously many folks from all walks of life were involved in that initiative. What's most alarming, though, for here in South Dakota is truly the number of women that are in our prison system. Those are mothers who have a direct impact on many other lives when they are incarcerated in our system. And so anything we could do to work on the rehab side of things along with community involvement is going to be extremely important. The atmosphere around here is different compared to previous sessions. This is the start of my fifth year in the legislature, and my first term out, we had a third in the House, and that was when Bernie came back into the ranks of the legislature. And these last 2 years, I have served in the Senate, and obviously been in a very much super minority position. But even at the start of 2 years ago with the legislative session, my friend, the Majority Leader, Senator Olson, extended his arm along with many others to work with us. And there was that willingness to work together. But at the same time, with the various governor initiatives those last 2 years, one in each year, it definitely divided our state's population, because right away folks picked one side or the other and were very vocal in their positions where they stood on those issues. We start this legislative session with a clean slate, much like I've compared our legislature to kind of a big family in a sense. You may get through some arguments, but at the end of the day, there's going to be another holiday meal. There will be business to tend to, and we know right here this is our time to work together in the legislature. I'm very much optimistic about what we can do as far as not only using the Criminal Justice Initiative as a chance to work together. There still are some very big questions, or say various questions we need to work through. There are still our stakeholders that want to continue to be engaged in that process. But then the other issues, like Bernie has mentioned, we will have to work on the economic development, which now has transcended any type of party lines, any type of seniority or clout that folks may have had in the past. Right now, economic development is for all South Dakotans to come to the table with their ideas. Just yesterday, we had kind of a brainstorming session with our joint caucus, and I think we had a list of 20 ideas in probably 15 minutes of folks that and that just came from our caucus, who we have a pretty nice representation from across the state, but they certainly have many ideas. Speaking of our caucuses, and I'll leave it with that as we move on to our question portion, but I am very impressed with our Democratic caucuses that we have right now. We are still relatively small in number. We would definitely like to have a few more in our ranks, but the quality level of these individuals who not only come from retired backgrounds in education and business, who have been very successful and starting their career in the legislature, but obviously throughout the entire span, we not only cover folks that are in our Native American communities, but obviously have a fair amount of women. We still could have more of a women representation, and then along with the youth perspective and agriculture and across the board, very excited for what they bring to the table, and we as their leaders are extremely responsive to their needs, and they will continue to be active participants in this process, along with our friends who are on the other side of the aisle and are ready to get down to business. With that, we'd be glad to take your questions.
Yeah, you don't really lead a Democratic caucus. You just try to duck when they see a principal and they trample you. So we just stay out of the way, don't we, for the most part?
Sure.
Yeah, we're ready for questions.
You mentioned economic developers. What's the status of that? Are there negotiations right now on specific bills? Are things still in the brainstorming session? How confident are you that ultimately you'll come to a deal that a majority of the legislature in both houses can agree on?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, every year economic development is a big issue, and many times it goes almost unnoticed because so many of the things are done in a bipartisan way. And the year that we got in that big fight over the governor's large projects development fund, that year alone, I mean, there were so many initiatives that we agreed on that could have been controversial. One was we greatly expanded TIFs. We took all the blighted language out of TIFs, so you can just about use a TIF district for anything at all. That could have been controversial. We removed liability for certain manufacturers. We did some wind and ethanol changes. We did some things for gun manufacturers, if I recall correctly. We did put some money into the Ellsworth Authority. The list went on and on about the things that, you know, could have been controversial, but we found ways to do it in a bipartisan way. And that's going to happen again this year. There will be a whole host of things that we'll agree on in economic development. One will be tourism. The tourism tax maybe is one of the bigger economic development issues we face. So we need to remove the sunset and pass the tourism tax. It's going to take a two-thirds vote. It's not going to be easy, but it's very important, maybe the most important thing we do. I would say the health care initiative is a $2 billion issue for South Dakota. And I would say that's maybe that would rank above the tourism tax is probably the most critical economic development thing we could face. So we're going to be doing things on wind, on renewable energies, on workforce development and scholarships that the governor talked about. So I suspect that there'll be a whole host of agreements, things that won't get a lot of press, but that we'll agree on. When it comes right down to your question of what's going to happen to the large project development fund and the contractor's excise tax, it's going to be tricky because it comes down to priorities, and everybody's and it's not Democrats versus Republicans so much as just a lot of different ideas out here. And you know, there's only so many dollars to go around. We don't fight over how much to spend out here. We fight over how to spend existing dollars. And I've never said the Large Projects Development Fund is a really bad idea. I just don't think it ranks as high as many, many other economic development ideas for the dollars spent. So my Republican colleagues have been very open to everyone's ideas. They want everybody's ideas on the table. They want everybody to be heard, and that in itself is a huge step forward. If you give everybody a chance to be heard, to be listened to make their arguments, I suspect that the cream will rise to the top. The best ideas will rise to the top, and we'll find some resolution.
Is there going to be a big signature initiative or two in economic development, or is it just going to be a lot of small things that help economic development and also help with?
No, I think there'll be a number of bills. There'll be, I wouldn't doubt if there'll be 10 or 15 or 20 different economic development initiatives. And I said, well, you know, and we may even argue over what is economic development, but certainly it'll revolve around healthcare and tourism and scholarships and workforce development and, you know, and that's probably only the tip of the iceberg. And the Large Projects Development Fund is in there, but I don't know how you could say that's the most important of that big long list. Did I answer your question?
Sure. Okay.
I have a question along the same line. How important is it? I mean, right now the state has no program for large project incentives. How important is it to have one?
You know, it's nice to have every program. But, again, it goes back to priorities. And I think if you listed your priorities, it would rank, it would rank not in the top 10 of priorities that need attention in South Dakota. We have a workforce of about 450,000 folks. And there are some people who say to us that the most important thing we're doing, or would like to think that the most important thing we do out here is to find a giveaway program to large corporations so we can increase that from 450,000 to 450,300. And I don't think that's the most important priority for spending $10 or $15 million when you're greatly underfunding education. Education, clearly, everybody agrees. If they don't agree, I wish they'd come and talk to me about it. Everybody agrees education is the most important component of economic development. I think just about every legislator agrees that education is underfunded. So if we're underfunding education, should we be taking general fund dollars and spending them on new programs? That's the real sticking point. The Large Projects Development Fund doesn't make my list of top 10 priorities. Not when it's funded by the by general funds, by school funds.
Further questions out there? Anybody on the line from the conference call that would like to join the conversation?
Hey, good morning, Bernie.
Good morning.
This is Jerry, WNAX.
Jerry, how's the weather in Yankton?
Yeah, nice and foggy and hazy here. Nice tie, by the way.
I need all the help I get. I double-checked it with my wife, so we're safe.
Sure you did. Say, you talked about the Medicaid expansion and economic development, and with the governor's comments about the able-bodied people with Medicaid, isn't there an opportunity for some connection to that, the Medicaid expansion and economic development?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a chance to kick off a $2 billion program over 10 years. And the most important reason to expand Medicaid is to ensure these 50,000 people. I mean, that's a workforce development issue in part. We need a healthy, well-trained workforce, and we lose productivity and we lose workers in the workforce if these folks aren't healthy. They've been described as able-bodied adults, but even able-bodied adults need health care. I think it's critical for a healthy workforce. But I mean, just think of what $2 billion over 10 years can do for the economy. I mean, you apply any kind of a Chamber of Commerce statistic to that, and I mean that is just real dollars. I mean, it dwarfs about anything else we'll do out here. So yeah, it's important to do for the people who are uninsured, but it's also important for all of us, and it's going to save us money. I mean, right now counties are picking up a lot of the costs. They're kind of the payer last resort. The hospitals, if they can't collect from the uninsured, many times try to go and collect from the counties. Obviously, the counties can't pick up all those costs. It's absolutely critical to our hospitals, especially our rural hospitals, because it's part of the Affordable Care Act, and the Affordable Care Act is a big, complicated thing, and the expansion of Medicaid is a big part of it. You take that part away, and it just doesn't work for our South Dakota hospitals and healthcare providers. In fact, one hospital provider told me that it's about a $3 million deal for their facility, and this is not one of our bigger hospitals. So I clearly believe it's the most important economic development issue we face this session.
If there's a chance for development in that, wouldn't it perhaps reduce the Medicaid rolls?
Well, we'll actually be adding, the way the terminology is, we'll actually be adding these individuals to the Medicaid rolls. So I guess it'll be, it'll actually be adding people to the Medicaid rolls. But I think the Congressional Budget Office in Washington, which is a nonpartisan group, has studied it, and they said it will actually reduce spending because we'll be smarter about the way we spend money on Medicaid. And there's a lot of Medicaid reforms in the Affordable Care Act and a lot of Medicaid reforms that need to happen here on the state level, but these are all tied together. It's kind of like, you can't go to the car lot and start picking and choosing and saying, I'll take the car, but maybe I don't need that front tire, and maybe I don't need the transmission. Can't afford that. Don't want to do that. The whole thing has to work together, and the expansion of Medicaid is a big part of the way this thing works.
And this is Jason Frericks, and Bernie explained the Medicaid expansion and especially about how everything works together. It appears that the governor and his staff, the lieutenant governor, have been very much working forward on the exchange side of things, which is that next level of graduating folks to participate in any type of basically private insurance market. And so without the Medicaid expansion portion, you will have a gap in coverage for South Dakotans out there who are above the poverty level of current Medicaid and who do not reach the threshold on the exchange system, which allows them to enter into some type of subsidized form that is working on with a partnership through private insurance. So how do we take care of that gap? And at the end of the day, as Bernie mentioned, whether it's through private pay or any type of cost shift, we and the counties are involved in some capacity, we end up paying for that cost. And so it's something that needs to be done, but these are folks that still, they're working in our service industry. They're individuals that contribute to our community who just simply have either not been able to afford or have not been involved in any type of health insurance coverage because of their current income location.
And one more thing, I can't stress enough that it's certainly not going to be a partisan issue in Pierre. And these uninsured, they're Republicans and Democrats and Independents and Socialists and everything across the board. I'm sure they don't care about politics. Neither do the hospital administrators. It's not political for them, and it shouldn't be political here. And I don't think it will be. The governor, much to his credit, sent three of his top staffers to a briefing yesterday to brief legislators. They gave us really, really powerful information. In fact, most of the information I felt was a good argument on why we should expand, and I thought they were very straightforward with the information. Their number one concern is uncertainty about where the federal government is going with its budget issues, and we're all uncertain about that, and we're all curious, at the least, and concerned about where the federal government is going with budget issues. But if we allow that to paralyze us, we just as well go home right now. If we're going to do nothing because we're worried about the federal government, we've got to move forward. And as I said earlier, it looks now like it looks like this could actually save states and save the federal government money. I know that's some people grin when you say that a new federal program is going to actually save you money. But I mean, the Congressional Budget Office has indicated as much. And if we embrace it and make it work, like the way we're going to make corrections reform work out here, I'm confident we can do that. I really believe there will be a bipartisan effort. I know there will be a bipartisan effort of Republicans and Democrats who will thoroughly investigate this and study the governor's concerns and try to make the best decision they can for South Dakotans.
Further questions? Any more in the room? David?
Just to circle back to the economic development issue, the one part of the question that I think you didn't get around to was, just what stage of the these bills? What stage are things at? Are things at the brainstorming stage, or are there serious negotiations with Republicans about language and bills somewhere in between?
Well, we're definitely very early in the stages as far as development on what any type of, whether it's various bills in economic development or any type of grand package. I hesitate to say grand package. I think it has many folks a little bit worried just looking back on not only the track record that the governor had as far as his initiative, but just any type of grand initiative. It takes a lot of work to pull that together. Our Republican friends, though, have offered, and we have been very forthcoming in our ideas and have provided those to the Republicans. We, Bernie and myself, will be meeting with the
our counterparts, Republican leadership, next week, early on next week, to further move that ball forward. So again, there's, as far as actual language, we have not had the chance to reach that stage, but we are definitely at the stage where it seems like most ideas are on the table, and it's more from the standpoint that the legislators are involved, not so much that it's any type of infusion of either governor's folks or insider lobbyists and all the other individuals that may have their own personal agenda. It seems to be very much a palms-up approach with lawmakers involved at this stage of the game. Certainly all of the other folks will have ample time to provide their involvement.
You know, and I couldn't agree more. The Republican leaders have been really good about reaching out, not only to us, but I think to all legislators. They want everybody to be heard, and that's a very refreshing change in economic development policy, because it's been top-down forever in South Dakota. And without the kind of accountability and transparency we should have, and that's got to change. That doesn't make for good government. And I don't think it's so much about the Republicans talking to Jason and I as listening to everybody, both people in their own caucus and people in all the people in our caucuses, freshman legislators or old-timers, and then listening and reacting to the people across the state as they express their needs. I mean, it shouldn't be leadership, and it certainly shouldn't be the corporate lobbyists. It shouldn't be top-down. It shouldn't be politicians who are perhaps have vested interests. It should be evidence-based, like the governor's using in corrections reform. We're hearing a lot about evidence-based reforms now. Let's do some evidence-based economic development, and I promise you, if we do evidence-based economic development, people will start talking about things that haven't been talked about before, especially about education, workforce development, even preschool for at-risk kids. That's long-term economic development. So it's going to be a very different discussion, and it's going to be very refreshing.
All right, further questions? Public Broadcasting, our friends there, had a chance to interview us last night, of course. And again, we definitely appreciate the involvement from all everybody. It's nice to see a good crowd to start off session.
Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity from Public Broadcasting, as always, and for kind of bringing this together, and all the reporters who are part of it. Thank you so much. See you next week.
Safe travels, everyone.
Yep.